Hello, Stuart here from Carey Baptist Church in Bolton. I'm just on my own today. Let's commit this time into God's love and care. Let us pray. Lord, I pray for those who are listening online or on recorded CDs who can't be with us or are listening from further afield, that you would draw near to them by your Spirit. That it would not just be a recording, but this would be a time of worship in which we meet with you and with each other in and through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's reading is Psalm 145, Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call in him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Father God, may my mouth speak in your praise, and may every creature praise your holy name. Amen. This week we're starting a new series on creation care to provide some theological context to the church's current discussions about creation care and what action we should be taking. This came up as a discussion item at a church meeting, and the deacons decided it would be good to include some teaching on it. The series will be made up of 5 sessions drawing upon materials from Arosha, who are a Christian charity working to protect and restore the natural world and committed to equipping Christians and churches in the UK to care for the environment. The first session that we start today is entitled God Loves His Creation. I think the very act of creation was an act of love. Creating something out of nothing to relate to. The Holy Trinity didn't need to create the universe, but they chose to as a gift of love. God didn't need company. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were self-sufficient in that sense, but wanted to give an expression to the outpouring of his love that resulted in the creation of all things, including us humans made in his image. When we look at the creation stories at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, which I see as poems rather than as literal descriptions, but whichever way you interpret them, it's what they mean that really matters. At the beginning it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Now, whether that was through some big bang or some other means, we have a sense that God is the creator of everything that exists. And as he goes through this process of creation, it says time and time again, repeated, "And God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was good," repeating to us so we get what he's at. And at the end of the chapter in verse 31, it said, "And God saw all he had made, and it was very good." So if God thinks that his creation is very good, who are we to disagree? If it is very good, then we should treasure it and look after it. And remember that we also are a part of creation, part of the web of life, and not above it or removed from it. God is a good God who has made a good creation to relate to. It says in verse 9 of our reading for today, which is Psalm 145, it says, "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." Now, this does not just apply to human beings, but to all creatures, indeed to the whole of creation. And this has implications for us in the way we relate to other people, other creatures, and to the earth itself. If God is good to all and has compassion on all he has made, then we should reflect God's character also as his image bearers. Although not a vegan or vegetarian myself, I can see why people are drawn to such a stance when they reflect upon such issues. Jodie and I are flexitarians in that we try to eat less meat, and the meat that we do eat is of a high welfare. And this is one small way that we can care for God's creation and God's creatures. When we think of God's relationship with us, sometimes we can be human-centric and just think it all revolves around us. But we need to be reminded that God's first covenant, the covenant with Noah, was with all life on earth, not just us. So I'm going to read that to remind us. So Genesis 9, chapter 9 and following. "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will be the flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth. So we see that God's covenant, his committed promise, is with all life on earth, not just with us humans. God cares for the whole of his creation. I'm reminded of that little bit at the end of the book of Jonah, where Jonah is in a huff because a plant that had been sheltering him from the sun was destroyed. And God says this in the last verse, verse 11, "And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" It's quite humorous in a way that God is concerned not just for the people, the population there, but also for the animals there too, that God's concern is also for the animal kingdom as well as us human beings. And Jesus uses imagery from creation in his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 and following. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor nor spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." So the birds and the flowers speak to us of God's care for us. I enjoy watching the birds at the feeder in my garden as I look out my kitchen window. They bring joy into my life. I see God's beauty in them. I'm reminded of a memory that when me and Jody worked in Nicaragua, and we were in the capital, Managua, which is quite a big city, and we had a very small garden, and we were sitting out there in the garden, and one day this little tiny hummingbird came to some of the flowers that was there, and it was just so beautiful. And just in this massive urban sprawl, this little hummingbird was like a sign of God's beauty and God's presence. In summary, if God loves and cares for the whole of his creation, so should we. We will have time and space to think about how we should do that in future weeks. But to have spent some time on why we should love and care for God's creation is a good place to start. God thinks his creation is very good, and he has compassion on all he has made. And so should we. Let us pray. Good and loving God, you look at your creation and see that it is very good. You have compassion on all creatures, on the whole of your creation. Help us to have a similar love that reflects your love for the earth you have given us and for which we are a part of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's good to have some time now to pray for others, so let us pray. Loving God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your servant, whom you upheld, your chosen one in whom you delighted, your Son born to be one with humankind, baptized with us, that we might know new life in him. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ for all those appointed to positions of power, that they might rule as your faithful servants and seek to establish justice in your love and mercy. Hear our prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ for the church, a people called by you, that we might delight our God by loving others and by spreading the good news of Christ to all the world. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ for the family of humankind existing in need, that they might have the material things they need for life and be given the spiritual things they need for living. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ for ourselves, baptized into your household, thanking you for the new life given us in Christ, and asking for the strength and comfort of your Holy Spirit, that we might live that life to the full. Loving God, we pray especially for those of your family who are sick, sorrowful, or afraid. We remember them now. In your love and your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who came to open the eyes of the blind and to set the captives free. We offer all these prayers to you and join them together with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And I'll close now with a blessing. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Thank you for joining with us. Go well and God bless.